Well, it's good to be in the house of God. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what we are all about here at New Life Church. So you will hear the truth. Sometimes the truth will make you mad, okay? And that's okay, because we don't all always line up to the truth. But eventually, it will set you free. Well, today, guys, I'm glad you're here, because we're starting a new series called The Promised Land. That promised land. I know it's not something that, you know, you hear a lot about, but I want to talk to us in the next month about how God has a promised land for you and me. Sometimes we read the Bible in the Old Testament, and we see Israelites going from slavery, from bondage, to a promised land, and we clap and we love stories of deliverance, right? But what we forget is that whatever God did in the Old Testament, He's still doing today, except He's doing it in your and my life. So what God loves to do, God loves to take a person from slavery. Maybe you were slave to an addiction, anger, maybe drug addiction, alcohol addiction. Maybe you were full of bitterness. Maybe you were slave of jealousy. You know, people, there's so many people who are slave to jealousy. Well, God wants to take us from slavery into a promised land. God wants to take us from Egypt into a promised land, and that's what this series is about. I want to talk about the promises of God, because in our churches, a lot of times we talk about what you shouldn't do. Thou shalt not this, 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 and this. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not everything. But what does the Bible says about what God has promised us? What are we to claim in our life? You should not commit adultery. That's a, you know, a commandment that God gave. But that's not a promise. You can't get up in the morning and say, I shall not commit adultery. And that will be my confession. I mean, some of you, maybe you should. But for most of us, there's other promises that God makes in the Bible. Did you know that in the Bible, God makes about 7,000 promises to His people? 7,000 promises. And a lot of times we live in defeat, in depression, in anxiety, in fear, because we don't know the promises of God. And promises of God are given to us so we are able to endure, so we're able to persevere through life when life throws us challenges, when storm comes, and they will. Jesus said storms will come. Life in Christ is not a easy sailing, you know. Heaven will be that, but not earth. God wants not just to give us something, He wants to make us something. How many of you know we're not what we should be? And so what God does, He gives us a promise, and then He says, follow that. And then in the process, He makes you a person, a man or a woman of God that He wants you to be. So God is not just interested to give you something, which He does. He wants to make you something in the process. How many of you know children of Israel, Israelites were changed from Egypt? By the time they got to the promised land, they were different. They were different. And some of them didn't get to the promised land. How many of you know that? And so we're going to look at that story. It's a story of about 41 years, but we're going to cramp it all into four sermons. Okay, four sermons. So are you ready for this week's message, Promised Land? I want to start with reading a scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's read this. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be flooded with light. Oh, that's cool. I love that translation. Let's read it again. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be flooded with light so that you can see the wonderful future God has promised to those He called. Oh, man, when we live in a world, our heart gets darkened and we don't see the promises of God. And so Paul prays for us. He prays for Ephesians, but he also is praying for you and me. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be flooded with light. How many of you want that? How many of you want the light of God to flood your heart? Man, sometimes our hearts are so stiff, so dark, so negative, so full of doubt and defeat. Before I came here, I asked my team to pray for me. I said, every stinking Sunday, before I get up to preach, Satan tells me you're going to preach bad. and this is going to be the worst sermon, and everybody's going to go home. You know, and I know he's a liar, because I've been doing this for, you know, a long time, but still every Sunday. And I know he speaks to you. He says, you're never good enough. God doesn't love you. Don't go to church today because, you know, the people are going to look at you weird. You know it's not true. It's just your heart is darkened. And I want the eyes of my heart to be flooded today with the light of God. I want for you, your heart to be flooded with the light of God so you can see God's promises that he has for those who love him. God has made a promise to you. I don't know if you know it or not, but God has made a promise to you. He has a promised land for you, right? He's taking you from somewhere and he's taking you to something. Listen, life in God is never, if it's boring for you, that means you stopped moving with God. You've stopped walking towards your promised land. Listen to me, if your Christian life has become dull, it's because you stopped pursuing God. You stop walking. You know, Israelites, they got comfortable in a desert. And because they got comfortable in a desert, many of them died in the desert. Sucks. Never enter into promised land. And God wants for his people to enter the promised land. Let me just tell you this fact. That when you believed in Jesus, did you know this? That you believed, when you believed in JC, Jesus Christ, you were spiritually adopted into God's family. Did you know that? God's family is a royal family. God is the creator of the universes. God is not only creator of what we can see and our telescopes can see, but also of the invisible things, the spiritual things. Bible says the spiritual things are way bigger than the physical things. So if you can imagine, our universe is huge, right? Millions of billions of miles. And we still don't know the end of it. Well, God says that spiritual world is way bigger because the visible things came from the spiritual. The visible things came from the spiritual. So heaven is a huge place, people. It's not a little place with the, you know, where you sit on a cloud and play a harp, right? It's something. I think those harps could be guitars, you know, these days, you know. I wouldn't mind playing a guitar in heaven. That's not all I'm going to do, but yeah, that's awesome. Anyway, so when you believe in JC, you were spiritually adopted into God's family. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Jesus Christ, JC, has became your older brother. Hold on, did you know that? Some of you are like, no. Yeah. I know we got a lot of new people, so I have to tell, you know, if you've been here for a while, you know this, but we have a lot of new people, so I have to tell this. And so Jesus Christ has become your older brother. When you became a part of the family of God, your sins were completely forgiven. Did you know that? That's kind of a big deal, because we all messed up, and we still mess up. You became righteous with God. My son asked me yesterday, Dad, what is righteous? Well, it's having the right standing. Imagine this. How many of you ever had a warrant for your arrest? I've had one. Yeah. I didn't know about it, but I had one. Okay. And then I found out when I was in jail already. Okay. But when I... and then later, guys, later, watch this. You every time you get pulled over, you're like, oh, what if I have a warrant for my arrest that I don't know about? And you live with that fear. And then police officer gives you a ticket. You're like, thank you for the ticket. Thank you. You're a good man, sir. Thank you for protecting us. At least I don't have to go to jail. You know what I mean? But when you have a warrant for your arrest, you are not righteous with the laws of your country or your city, right? Same thing. When we are apart from God, it's like we have a warrant, okay? But when we accept the sacrifice of Jesus, that warrant has been paid for by somebody. Who? JC. All right. Jesus Christ paid our price. So guess what? With God, I'm righteous. I have a right standing. It's like if I go to court, I don't have to be afraid because they might arrest me. I don't have any tickets that I have to pay. I don't have any fines. I don't have a warrant. I don't have to go to jail and pay restitution. I don't have to do that. Jesus Christ has paid for your and my sins. That's the good news. All right. Now, number three, When you became a part of the family, you have now peace with God. Before you were a believer, you were an enemy to God. When you became a believer, now you are at peace with God. Now, before you became a believer, you had peace with the devil. If you could say that, there's no peace with the devil. But you were on good terms with the devil, and you were an enemy to God. But watch this. When you became a part of God's family, you're no longer an enemy of God. Although you do still have a new enemy, and his name is Satan. Okay? So know who you are and know who your enemy is. God is not your enemy when you believe. Some of you are still living thinking, God hates me. God is not your enemy if you are a believer. Get that through your head. God is not an enemy, your enemy, if you're a believer. But I mess up, yeah? So does everybody. That's why when we come to God, we don't come in our own merit and say, look at me, God. When we come to God, we come through Jesus Christ. So we put Jesus in front of us and we hide behind him and say, I got Jesus, right? Amen. So we have peace with God. Number four, you have an access when you became a part of a family of God, a royal family. You have access to the vast spiritual riches and promises of God. So all 7,000 promises of God could apply to you. Could apply if you can handle it. The problem is we can't handle it. Amen? So all those promises are open to us. So let's read the Ephesians again. Ephesians 1:18. I pray, Paul says, that eyes of your heart will be flooded with light so that you can see the wonderful future God has promised to those who he called. I want my eyes to be flooded every day of my life. I love the sunshine, so I want that to happen to my heart. So before God does something, listen to me, before God does something, he always makes a promise. Let me tell you something about God. God is not like me or you. How many of you are procrastinators? Yeah? And you love doing things in spontaneous. And if it's not spontaneous, you hate it. I got a buddy like that. I got a friend like that. And I'm like that too. And I realized that that's not who God is. Did you know that God plans first, then he speaks, and then he does? First, God planned the universe. Then he spoke it into existence. Nothing happened. And then Holy Spirit made it happen. There's a process. God is a planner. And if you want to be like God, we have to plan. You can't live your life just based on spontaneity. You're never going to get anything accomplished because Satan will beat you down. And you one day you'll feel like doing something. The next day you drop it. Help me out. Are you getting blessed by this? Or am I preaching to myself? Listen to Isaiah 46:10. It says this. Only I can tell you the future before it ever happens. That's God. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. With God, it's not like, I hope I speak it, I hope it happens. No, no. When he says it, he will do whatever he says. God does not lie. Right? We say, and then we're like, well, we meant well, you know, but, you know, I said I loved her, but, you know, 10 years later, you know, yeah. I said I'll, for better or for worse, but, you know, worse came. You know, so we as human people, sinful nature, we make mistakes. We say things we don't mean sometimes, or we mean them, but then something happens and we just give up. Not God. God says, everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Listen to me. Has God ever spoken to you and said something to you? Then God says, my word does not come to me void. Come back to me void. It accomplishes what it should accomplish. When God called Abraham out, he made a promise to him. Abraham is 75 years old man. His wife is 65, and they have no children. And Abraham desperately wants a son, especially in that Middle Eastern culture. A son is your inheritor. You want a strong family, many kids, but especially a son. Abraham does not have a son. In that culture, you were put down. You were made lower than you were because you didn't have a son. People would say, God has cursed you. Okay, it's different today, but in that culture, that's how it was. And Abraham lived under that pressure of politics, of society. And so God appears to him and says, Abraham, follow me. And this is what I'm going to do. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make you a blessing. Everyone who blesses you will be blessed. Everyone who curses you will be cursed. And in you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Oh, I love quoting that scripture because that's a promise. And notice Galatians says that those who are a part of God's family share in the same inheritance that Abraham received. So that means this. God says, if you become my follower, I will bless you and make you a blessing. And those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. Is your faith rising up right now? Because that's what it's all about. Faith comes from hearing. Have you ever claimed that promise when people curse you? I have, but maybe many of you didn't know. You know, in this life, you will have many enemies. You will have enemies. Jesus had enemies, and he was perfect. So what do you think? You won't have enemies? And when they come against you, how do you respond? Do you believe the negative lies that they say about you? A man got mad at me once because I wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do. In the church, he wanted to preach. On Sunday, I'm like, no, you're not ready yet. You know, we have preacher. And he got mad and left and said, you know what? From this day on, your church will be destroyed. That's it. It's going down. And you know what? I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I have promises of God. Because Satan is such a mosquito. That's all I call him, mosquito. He comes after you and starts, bzz, bzz. It's going down. That's it. It's going down. Everything in your life is going to fall apart. And you know, and what do you fight that with? You can say, I don't believe it, but based on what? See, but if you start quoting promises, when Satan came to Jesus and began to quote things to him, what did Jesus did? He began to quote the scripture, the promises of God, the word of God, and that's how you fight. Did you know that the word of God is a sword? Symbolically, word of God is a sword. Do you ever pull out your sword? Maybe it's rusted out already in that sword holder. And it's stuck there because you never use it. But the word of God is a sword, and that's how you fight the devil. You fight the negative thoughts that devil comes and bring in your life with the promises of God. And so Satan's job is to make sure that you don't hear promises of God, that you don't come to church, that you don't open the Bible, so you don't know how to defeat him, how to fight back. And that's why so many Christians are living defeated life, because we never fight back. And God is calling you to fight back with his promises. Somebody bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Promises of God. So God makes a promise to Abraham, and I will make you. And today, if you are a believer, you are a son or a daughter of Abraham. Did you know that? And the promises that God made to Abraham and in the Bible are yours. Over 7,000 promises. All right? Amen, amen, amen. God is good. However, God made promises. You can fight with them. But promises is something that God says to you for the future that hasn't come yet. It's not, you don't quote promises just for the sake of quoting promises. There's something at the end of that promise. When God brought Israel out of bondage of slavery in Egypt, he didn't just brought them, give them some good thoughts, and they were stuck in the desert. Go ahead, go your way. No, he had a plan for them. He had a direction for them. And Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God orders your plans just like he did Israel. He has a land for you. And that's metaphorically speaking, spiritually speaking, symbolically speaking, God has a land for you. So he wants to take you. And that's why I said, if your Christian life is boring, you have stopped following the promises of God in your life. Yeah, yeah, yep, yep, yep. And so God says to Abraham, here's the promises, and they don't happen. And that's what we're going to talk about. They don't happen. And God says to Israel, here's the promise. I'm going to take you to a land where milk and honey flows. And then they're stuck in a desert. And God says, how long are you going to be walking around the same mountain? When are you going to go and possess the promise? So a promise of God, listen to me, does not automatically happen. God doesn't just drop it on your lap. The check doesn't just come in the mail. I mean, it does sometimes miraculously, but you have to go and get it. Let me tell you a quick parable that Jesus says, because you're like, Pastor, Old Testament, what about Jesus? Jesus said this. Remember a story of prodigal son? Prodigal son comes back home. The father throws him a party. The older son gets upset. Father comes out to meet him, says, why are you not partying with us? He said, because how dare you throw a party for that son? I have been working for you all my life. And listen to this. This is the key. And the father says, son, all that I have is yours. Well, how come father didn't give it to him on his lap? Go get it. A lot of Christians get stuck here. Listen to me. A lot of Christians get half of the coin, half of the side, the promises of God. But they don't understand that in order for you to inherit the promise, you have to go and get it. You didn't give me a goat to party with my friends. And father says, son, all that I have is yours. Go. What did he imply? What did Jesus imply? Go and get it. Did you know that God didn't give the promised land to Israel just like that? He said to Moses, send 12 spies. Go observe the land. And then God took him through a process of going and getting the land. People didn't just vacate the land for them. Have you noticed that? They had to go and fight the wars to get it. And we Christians get so spiritual that we're no earthly good because we claim to know the promises of God, but we never act on them. And Bible says this, faith without works, say it, works, without actions is dead. It's not existent. And so God says to go and possess the land. Here's the promise, go and possess the land. But God, like those spies came back, remember? There's giants in the land. And we'll tackle that next week. So, I didn't say you were going to go alone. Did I? Did God say you were going to go alone? No, he said, I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to give you this land. But notice, God works with a human. God wants to have a working relationship with us. A lot of us don't possess many promises. God told me I'm going to do this. And God says I'm going to do this and that. Why? Because we don't plan. We don't speak. Bible says speak to the mountain and we don't activate. We don't go and do something about it. Help me out. Come on. Some of you are like, I want to get married, but I won't leave home because God will send somebody to my door. And they'll knock and they'll quote a story that they heard. Some grandma said or grandpa or some book or some evangelist, televangelist. You know, I was sitting at home and my wife, she was hot and she came and said, I want to be with you. Are you sure it wasn't your lust dream or something? No, you have to go out and you have to meet people and you have to be a part of the young adult ministry, you know. You have to hang out with other Christians. And then eventually a boy will notice you. But how will he know if you're never around? Some of you always attract bad boys. Well, where do you attract them at? Where is it that you attract them at? I go to the library, Pastor. What library? Is that the one on 49th? The Marion one? Is that the one? That's a club. I know about that. So that's why you attract, you know, the wrong people. If maybe you did go to a library, maybe you get some. No. Let's keep going. Knowledge, yes. Anyway, so it's faith that makes you go. Now, the reason some of you have not gone yet, because you really don't trust God. See, a lot of people say, God will do it. That's not faith, guys. God will do it is not faith. I'm going to let it sink in. God will do it is not faith yet. When you say, God is going to do it through me, and then you say, God, how are you going to do it? How do we work together? Where do I need to? Who do I need to speak to? When we started this church, we're about 20, 30 people first, and somebody told us, all you have to do is pray and fast. We didn't know anything better. And God is going to do it. Build it, and they will come. That's a lie. That's a lie. There was this business that got built in Sioux Falls, and they didn't advertise. And guess what? They failed. And I read the comments on Facebook under Argus Leader, our town's newspaper, and people said, most people say, I didn't even know they existed. They should have advertised more. Did you know sometimes we get so spiritual, all you got to do is pray and God will do it. No, God says go. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say the whole world is going to come to you. You go. That's the principles God has established in this world. Don't break them. Marketing is God's idea. Hold on a second. Marketing is God's idea. Many people say, Pastor, I'm going to start a business. I'm like, how are you going to advertise? How are you going to get clients? Oh, I'm going to get a website built, and I'm going to give cards or something. That's not enough. You gotta get it out. And I know that because I know I invented this little thing, right? And I know how hard it is, how much marketing it takes to do something, to sell something. Nobody knows about you. Nobody believes yet in your product. Did you know that before God sent Jesus Christ, he advertised him? When did God start advertising Jesus? Help me out. Some of you too spiritual. You're like, Pastor, advertising is from the devil. Hold on. How soon did God begin to... Genesis, thank you. When the seed of a woman will crush the seed of the devil. Then in, throughout the history, throughout the Bible, God advertises. He says, he's coming. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Advertising. He's coming. John the Baptist comes and says, the one greater is coming after me. Hold on. God could have just made Jesus. Angels came and announced it to the he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. God gives signs through history. He's coming. He's coming. And even in Book of Exodus, they have the lamb that they sacrifice. And then they put the blood on the corners of the doors. That's a symbol of Jesus Christ 2,000 years before Jesus comes. That's symbols. He's coming. Some of you like, if you guys were spiritual, God would bring people into this church. We are spiritual, and God and a lot of spiritual churches are tiny because they don't go and reach people. But we decided to do something different. We said, God, use us to go. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Everybody prays, but nobody does. And listen to me, prayer is only one half of the coin. Coin has two sides. I'm not attacking prayer. Don't you dare think. I'm actually calling you to pray this whole month and fast because of what God is going to do starting September. And that has to do with the announcement that I'm going to make, giving you little clues here and there. I want you to pray this month, okay? But it's only half. It's only half of the coin. The other side of the coin is we got to go and act on our faith. So promises of God is one side of the coin. Action is the second part of the coin. The coin that's only one-sided is no good. The dollar bill, $100 bill that only has one side printed, but the other empty. Help me out, people. It's no good. So God's, are you getting this? Promises of God. God given us a vision. He said, you're going to reach a lot of people who are far from God, closer to Jesus. And, you know, at first, didn't do anything. And then we started acting, and look at this place. And it's summer, guys. And this is summer. That's God. That's God. Amen. Question. How does God give us a promise? How does God give us a promise? Number one. If you're writing this down, God will speak into your heart through his Holy Spirit, okay? God spoke to Abraham before there was a Bible, okay? God spoke to many different prophets in the Old Testament. They didn't have nothing. So how did he speak to them? He spoke to their heart, okay? Here is, when I gave my life to Jesus, before I even thought about opening a church, and I never did, this was not my childhood dream. I'm going to be a pastor. When I got saved, I looked around my church and I'm like, okay, these old people are saved. And then I looked outside and I saw brokenness in the world. You know how broken the world is? I mean, church is broken too. We're not perfect, but the world is broken. And I looked and I said, why aren't we, if we believe that these people are going to hell if they don't get saved, right? If that's what we claim to believe, because that's what we do believe. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is the only way, okay? Then how come we are not going out and desperately reaching more people? That was my, and now I'm thinking back and I'm like, wow, God, that was you. He was speaking to me, to my heart. And it's not like I heard a voice, guys. I didn't hear a voice. God didn't tell me, go start a church, bring people far from God closer to Jesus. No, he was speaking to me inside. But you got to be careful here when you say God is speaking to you. Because everything God says must align with his word, which is the Bible. Okay? So if God says to you, drop your family, leave your wife, move to Hollywood, and become a rock star, that does not align with the word of God. Okay? So that's a lie. When God says something to you, it will align with the word of God because God would not say that to you. Amen. Amen. So I don't know if God says, if you hear a voice that says, you don't need a church. You don't need the Bible anymore. You are spiritual. You know how a lot of people in our culture, I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. Well, I'm not religious either. But what spirit are you following? What spirit is speaking to you? You get this? So God will speak into your heart. It must align with a word of God. Another way you know what God is speaking to your heart, something will irritate you. It irritated me that I was saved and other people were going to hell. And Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. How is it that I say I love my neighbor as myself, but I don't care about his eternal being? If I really believe in the Bible, how is it? So something stirred up in me. But then I got with some super spiritual people and they messed me up. They said, all you got to do is pray and God will do it. And I did. And we did. And praying is not bad. But we didn't do anything. We didn't have faith, action to our faith. Okay? And that's why sometimes you don't get the promises of God is because you don't add action. God says, I want to bless your business. And you won't even go and start a business because you're afraid. Listen, God has a promise for you and he wants to take you there. So God will speak. What irritates you? Can I speak a little bit? And I don't want to offend anybody. I don't know your political affiliation. And I don't, you know, care about that because I'm a kingdom person. I'm really not a Democrat or Republican. So I'm going to speak from a biblical position. That's my party. You know what party I belong to? The kingdom party? That's my party. And listen to this. I will find the closest. I know people. I will not find a human part. I still vote, you know. I love voting because that's a great right. But I will vote only for if it aligns with. Okay, that's how I vote. Some of you are, you get irritated. In the last 2 weeks, I have seen images that make me want to cry. As a grown man, it makes me want to cry. I've seen babies tearing apart on a little dishes. That irritates me. That hurts me. And I know I love lions. I do. But notice how the world stands up for a lion but won't stand up for a baby. And how we abort our babies in our nation in such a way that we can save parts, body parts, and we can sell them. Does that irritate you as a child of God? You got to do something about that. And listen, our warfare is not with flesh and blood, so we don't fight with physical weapons. We don't take a gun and go shoot shoot people in abortion clinic. That's not what we do, but how we vote matters. How you're going to vote in the next presidential election is going to matter. I heard some politicians say, I will not do this. And then when they get into office, they lie. And they gotta leave. They can't. You got to hold them accountable. Don't fall for hype. Go for the merit. And ask God, pray, who should I vote for? And be a knowledgeable Christian. What irritates you? Maybe injustice irritates you. Maybe people going to hell irritates you. And I know as a Christian, the foundation of everything we do must be that we care about those who are far from God. That we want to get people from hell to heaven. We want to get people from darkness into light. That's the foundation. I might be a businessman, but the foundation of everything I do is I want to see people come to God. So I will use my resources, my money, my gifts, so I can bring people far from God. And that's your assignment. Bible says that, you know, go into all the world. God will speak to you inside your heart, but it must align with the Bible, with the word. Another way God will speak to you, and this is, I'm going to end here because I have no time. God will speak to you through his word. How does God pass on the promises to us through his word? Over 7,000 promises. I'm sure you can find 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 promises that you can claim. As a child of God, Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen. Listen to me. Some of you just learned that verse. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Okay, so all of them. Yeah? All of them. All these blessings are yours. Amen. So find something in the Bible. Can I share with you some of my favorite promises? Can I? And that's how I'm going to end. Psalm 23:6. And I think you could claim that too if you want to. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise! Listen, you can have sickness and disease follow you, but that's not the promise of God. You can have a curse and destruction and fear and anxiety and depression follow you, but that's not the promise of God. I choose to follow this promise. Surely, goodness, listen, following me anywhere I go, following me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Amen. Now, let me give you another one. Isaiah 55:5. That's another promise that I claim. Surely you will call a nation you do not know. Now, some of you are from this nation, so you can't claim that promise. Not unless God is going to send you to another nation. But listen to me. When I read that verse, I just read Isaiah 55. You know how you go through the Bible? When I read that verse, surely you will call a nation you do not know. As you can hear, I have an accent. Some of you don't hear it anymore. Praise God. But that verse wouldn't get out of my mind. For months, for years, it would just get stuck. And so I claimed that promise for myself. Surely you shall call. And there's tons of promises, but these are just my promises, okay? Let me claim another one. Isaiah 46:10-11. We read part of it. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Next verse. I will call a swift bird of prey from the east, a leader from a distant land to come and do my bidding. I would like to think. See, I claim it for myself. And you can claim it too. I will call. Hold on. I will call a bird. Okay. Angry bird. A leader from a distant land to come and do my bidding. How cool is that? That's me. Thank you. And that's you too. I mean, if you know, God might send you somewhere and he wants us to go to all the world. So really, it kind of applies to everybody. But you know, some verses will stick out to you, but some will not. So this one speaks to me. It speaks to me. Praise God. Next one, Isaiah 53:5. This is for everybody. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You can claim that promise. Let me tell you a little secret. Let me tell you a little secret. When I am too lazy to read my Bible at night, you know, I have this tradition. I have to read a chapter before I go to bed. But sometimes I'm too lazy. Like you, you know, we all are. Guess what I do? I begin to quote all my promises, one after one, in my mind or with my words. I just begin to quote them. That's still the word of God, right? Yes, my flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Amen? Amen. So by his stripes we're healed. When I had a knee issue, that's the verse that sustained me for 20 years. 20 years. Till I got surgery done this past March. How did I do it? They pulled out bones. One is about this size. One is like 3/4 inch. One is 1/2 inch. One is 1/4 inch out of my knee. They were floating in there. I don't know how I did it for 20 years. And sustain me. Now, don't wait that long. Go get a surgery done. Everybody's got Obamacare now, so just go for it. Get it done. Amen. Amen. Another one, when people attack you, Isaiah 54:17, one of my favorites. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage. This is your inheritance. This is your promise of the servants of the Lord. Are you a servant of God? I am. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. No weapon formed against you. So whenever Satan comes and says, you can't do this, you're just not smart enough, you can't do this, I begin to quote that. When people come against you and start talking evil because of their jealousy or whatever, you begin to quote that. And Satan hates when you quote the word of God. and especially when you quote it in faith. Amen. Joshua 1, 8, and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Next verse, next. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Why as a Christian, you have such a big sword, would you walk in defeat? Why? 2 minutes. Deuteronomy 8:18. You guys got to write these down, because those are your promises too. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get. That's God saying that. That He may establish His covenant with which He swore to your fathers, as it is of this day. Did you know that? That's your promise? Oh, Pastor, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel. I'm preaching the gospel. Amen. One more, and we're going to pray. Oh, this is great. This is great. Two more. I got one. Okay. Genesis 12:3. Come on. Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in all the families of the earth shall be, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's a promise. Do you know that? That's you. So all your enemies, God will make them scatter. That's a promise. One more, and this is a long one. Deuteronomy 28:1. Let's read that, guys. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in a city, blessed shall you be in a country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, your children, your produce of your ground, the increase of your hand, herds, and increase of your cattle, and offsprings of your flocks. Okay, blessed shall you shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Keep going. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven different ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, your bank accounts, and in all which you have set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of good in the fruit of your body, and increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, and in the land in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open up to you His good treasure in the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and carefully observe them. That's it, guys. Thank you. There's more. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Did you get something for yourself today? Hallelujah. I have another page of preaching to do, but maybe we'll do that next Sunday. Aren't you glad you came? to the house of God. I believe this. The lies of the devil in your mind have been destroyed, tear down. They have cracked. The strongholds have been cracked. Now you need to find some promises of God, and you need to live by them. And there's plenty of them, 7,000 or so. You can find a few and live by them and fight the devil with them and inherit your promises and be victorious for the kingdom of God. Take it by force, Bible says. Right? Take it, take it, take it. God says, all that I have is yours. You are part of the royal family. This whole world is yours. Why are you stuck? Oh, thank you, God. Come on, Brooks, play that, play that, play that, play that. Oh, Holy Spirit, we thank you for moving in this place. Holy Spirit, we thank you for touching your hearts. We thank you for shining your light mightily into our heart this morning, God. I thank you that lives are being transformed. I thank you that people are recommitting themselves to you and your promises into living life for you, seeking the kingdom first. Hallelujah. Do your mighty work like you are already doing in our church through us. This is not my accomplishment. This is your accomplishment through us, God. We all have a part in this. Thank you, God. And thank you that this is just the beginning, because you promised us so much more. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes right now and bow your head. If you don't know Jesus, if you are not in peace with God, I want to give you an opportunity to respond today. Did you know that God loves you? And the reason you're here today is because He wants to save you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to restore you into His royal family where you belong. You were made in the image of God, and that's your family. We can't do it without Jesus. And Bible says that's why Jesus came, so He can die for our sins. And whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so today I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, if you would like to surrender your life, to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand and raise it high. If you maybe walked away from God, you used to be a Christian, maybe you used to go to church with your grandma, and you quit, and now you're here. You don't even know why you're here, but God does. He brought you here so He can save you, so He can forgive you, so He can make you righteous, so all your warrants will be deleted and you can have peace with God, a relationship with God. You don't have to live in fear. God loves you. He wants to give you eternity. On a count of three, are you ready? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Please raise your hand and raise it high if you want to give your life to Jesus. 1 hand, 2 hands, 3 hands. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? 4 hands. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pray with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I will serve no other. I will serve you. I bless you only. From this moment on, I believe that I'm forgiven and I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. My sins are gone. They've been crucified on the cross in Jesus. So I stay blameless before God. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and celebrate those four who gave their life to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.